Psalm 84. I have a two-verse passage that we'll jump off on here after we get through the introduction. But my message this morning is on what we need. Now, Zacchaeus needed to be taller, but he couldn't get taller, so he got a tree. He needed a tree that day. The two blind men needed to see. They needed Jesus to heal them. But there's something that we all need in this world today. But before this, I'm going to tell you a story that's been the nemesis for the last 2 days in our household. It's our kitchen faucet. Kitchen faucet. I thought things were going well, and on Thursday night, Angie comes in and she says, the faucet is leaking. And sure enough, there was water underneath the sink. And I said, oh, this is not going to be a big challenge. This is not going to be a big challenge because it's just a hose that you unclip and you clip it back on, you screw on the shower head and everything's fine. I'll go out in the morning and I will find the replacement part. So I get online on Friday morning and I look on some of the sites that say, here's a universal thing. And here's another thing that will work. I go down there and there's small print, wasn't on the website, it said not for pull down faucets. This is after I'd gone to a couple of stores and they said, we don't have them. It said, you have them. You have four of them. No, we don't have them. So after a couple of hours of doing this, I finally get to the thing. You have the solution in your hand and you pull it off the rack and it says, not for pull down faucets. So now I have to go back home and said, sorry, you're not getting water for a while. Still had the dishwasher, but that's okay. And so you're not getting water for a while. So I get online and I find a place and I send off the request and I'll get the part sometime. You know, that's kind of like God's grace. From out of nowhere, this part's going to come to my mailbox. I haven't ever seen this place. I have faith that they will honor my order. And when I get it, it will fix my problem. But not yet. And so now we're talking about maybe time without a sink. Oh no, catastrophe in the house. Okay, so what does every good husband try to do? Try to please their wife, right? So for the next 5 hours, I go down to the store and I buy a splicer and I put it together and try to splice the hose where it was leaking. Ooh, it leaked worse. Oh. And I said, well, I'll just redesign the hose and I'll get some couplings and I'll make one. And it leaked even worse. And finally, after all this frustration, running back and forth, trying to find these parts and everything, I said, I give up. You know, what we need to do is we need to give up and let the part that's coming from a place that we don't know where it's coming from, that we have faith that it's going to show up, come and fix the problem. Because I can't fix my problem. Only God can. Yeah, I need God to put his hand on the faucet and fix it, but he'll send me the part, okay? So that's what's going on. And what we all need is we need God's grace. You can try all you want to fix your problem, but it doesn't work. Eventually, you're going to have to depend on someone you cannot see to give you something that you have faith in believing that is going to come to fix your problem. And you know something? When you get God's fix, it's going to be simple. When I get this part, assuming that it's going to fix it, 5 minutes, then it'll be there. I should have just waited. And you know, isn't that the way we are? We try to take things in our own hands, try to fix it ourselves, and then in the end give up and say, I should have just done it the first time. That should not be the way in the Christian life. Yesterday I was out on the parking lot doing the prayer thing and waiting for people to come by and to pray with them. And it was pretty hot and I was looking at all the clouds and I was appreciative of the shade, and then a little sprinkle came through and I was appreciative of that. And I looked up at the clouds and I said, you know, that in itself is an amazing thing. Because do you know how much a normal cloud weighs? 550 tons. Now, because the cloud's all spread out, it has less density than the air underneath it. And so the air underneath it holds it up. But you can't see that. Now, unless you know about science and density and stuff, you don't know that. You just see the cloud up there. And I was watching the clouds build. And later on, I got a call from Angie. She's down at Walmart, and it's pouring rain down here. And I was seeing this cloud build up, and I said, yeah. But you know, another thing happened. The issue is that when a cloud rains, it doesn't disappear. It still has there. And you know, it kind of shows about the manifold grace of God. He sends rain down on the just and the unjust. But it's a blessing. It's definitely a blessing now here in the drought conditions that we're in. So I looked at the cloud. I said, hey, you know, here's a cloud that weighs more than any airliner ever built. And, you know, man can fly something heavier than air, but eventually he has run out of gas and he'll have to land. And folks, when we try to do things that God does on his own, we're going to run out of gas and we're going to have to come back to reality. And so the clouds are even an example of God's grace. What we need is God's grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, this is in a way of introduction, Paul was one who knew he needed God's grace. And we know the story that he had a physical ailment. Some people said it was a problem with his eyesight. We don't know for sure. But this problem bothered him. And it kind of probably hindered him in his ministry. And so he prays to God. He realized that the God who saved him on the Damascus Road would be the God that could deliver him from the problem that he had. And so in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians 8, we see the prayer and then we see God's answer. And sometimes the answer that we get is just trust in Him. And we want our problems to be fixed. I want my faucet to run water right now, but I don't have to wait on it. You know, I want the rain to come down, but you have to wait on it. And so Paul talks about praying to God three times for this, and the answer that God gave him was this. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. See, we need to understand that God's grace is what we need. Sometimes we don't think we need God's grace, and that's the time we need more of it. But the promise that God gave Paul is the same promise that he gives us, is that the grace that God can give us is sufficient for us. He says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I spent hours and some money on trying to get parts that would not work to fix my problem. And I have to wait on the proper part. Our proper part comes from God. And His grace is sufficient. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And therefore, Paul comes up to this conclusion. Most gladly, I'll be without water for a while. Nope. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities. I'd rather deal with the problems that I've got right now and see God's grace work in my life so I could do the ministry that God has called me to. It says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Folks, that should be the point for everyone in here and everyone that's watching. We want God's power in our life, and if you don't want God's power, then you need a checkup on your spirituality. Because everybody, if you've got the answer, you know someone has got the answer. Quit being hard-headed and trying to do it your own self. Go to the answer man, who is God, and He'll give you power. And so, we need grace. We all need grace. So in our text verse this morning, in Psalm chapter 84, verses 11 and 12, it says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. Now there's two things in here that we can see. What does the sun do besides get hot? It gives us light. It makes things grow. Okay? It gives us nutrients and even vitamin D and C in our bodies. So it's something that we need to grow. And something we need to see. And something to guide us on a path. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. A shield is something that protects. We need God's grace to guide us. We need God's grace to protect us. And then here's the next phrase. And it kind of gets into the point I'm going to make today. It says, the Lord will give grace and glory. So, the potential to get God's grace and His glory is there. We just have to accept it. It says, no good thing. Now, when he says no good thing, it means all good things, right? It means we're going to get all good things. God knows what we need. He says, no good thing will he withhold from them that, and here's the catch, walk uprightly. See, there's a lot of people out there that experience God's grace and for salvation, but they don't walk uprightly. Don't expect God's grace to be manifested in your life. There's a condition. We need to walk the right way. Noah found grace in the sight of God. Why? Because he was walking the right way, and it was a protection for him and his family. Verse 12, he says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that what? Trusteth in thee. Folks, don't trust in your own ability. Trust in God. Don't trust in your own smarts. Trust in God. And he will not withhold any good thing. He'll give us everything that we need for life and godliness. So there's 3 points I want to make this morning about grace and what we need about grace. The first thing is we need to know God's grace. You can't use something unless you know what it does. You can't understand how it works unless you've experienced it. And so we need to know God's grace. And the first point is that to know God's grace is to know Jesus Christ. To know God's grace is to know Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, the Bible says, it says, For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for what? Your sakes, he became poor, that through his poverty, that ye through his poverty might be rich. See, the issue is that to experience God's grace, we need to go to the God of grace. In the Beatitudes, it says, Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so we need to understand that all of God's grace is tied up into the Lord Jesus Christ. There was an acrostic that I learned a long time ago about grace. Is that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. So, to know God's grace is to know Jesus Christ. You can't understand God's grace unless you understand Jesus Christ, unless you understand what His mission was. He gave everything up so that you could have grace. He gave everything up so you could have salvation. He gave everything up so you could have a home in heaven. That's grace. It's unmerited favor. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Have everlasting life. But to need to know God's grace, to know God's grace is to know Jesus Christ. To know God's grace is to know, is to realize that salvation is out there. You know, some of us, maybe all of us, have gone through a problem and we've done everything we could to solve it. And the answer was right there, but we were too stubborn to look at it. The nation of Israel was out in the desert and they didn't have water. And they cried through Moses to Moses, and then all of a sudden there's water and there's a tree. See, the point is the answer is right there in front of us. And the issue with Christ is right here in front of us today. To know God's grace is to realize salvation is available. It's to realize that salvation is available. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, For the grace of God that what? Bringeth salvation hath appeared to, everybody say it, all men. Don't say, I don't know. I didn't know. That will not be an excuse. In Romans chapter 1, it says, They have no excuse. Psalm 19 says, The heavens declare the handiwork of God. See, there is no excuse. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And my question to you this morning before we get any further in this, have you received the grace of salvation? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know what Jesus Christ did for you? See, to know God's grace is to know Jesus Christ. To know God's grace is to realize that salvation is there. And then thirdly, to know God's grace is to receive salvation. You know, you can window shop all you want, but until you go into the store and purchase it or you get it, you don't have it. And so you can know about God's salvation all you want, and you can know all the facts of it. You can read the Bible through, but if you never realized that salvation was for you, if you never accepted it on your own, doesn't do you any good. You're resisting God's grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." There is nothing I could do to fix my faucet now. I have to wait for the right part. There's nothing to do to get you to heaven. You have to call on Jesus Christ. "For whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." See, to know God's grace, you need to know Jesus Christ. To know God's grace, you need to realize that salvation is available. To know God's grace is to incorporate it into you through His gift of salvation. And then folks, you know, once you've been saved, it should cause a change in your life. See, to know God's grace is to want more grace. You know, there's a potato chip advertised that no one can eat, just one. Okay? When you see those chips and you bring a bowl in, everybody comes after the chips, right? Oh, well, unless you're on a diet or something like that. But the point is that those chips are engineered to make you just want more and more and more. See, God's grace is engineered, so you should want more. And you don't want more God's grace? What's wrong with you? You're resisting God's grace. We should all want more of God's grace. In James chapter 4, verse 6, here's a promise. "But He giveth" what? "More grace." He giveth more grace. Now, and if Psalm 84, we see that He will withhold no good gift to them that what? Walk uprightly. And so, here's a condition. You want to experience God's grace, you need to know it. You need to have received it. You need to want more. Realize that you can't do it on your own. That's called pride. You need to give up all your pride and say, "God, You're right and I'm wrong." I'm finding that out more and more each day. Okay, my wife tells me that all each day. Especially with that fossil. "This isn't working. You're wrong." I just give up. Okay? We just need to give up. It says, "Wherefore He saith, God," what? "Resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Well, I just don't experience God's power in my life. Get humble. Get humble. Understand that He's God and you're not. Realize that salvation is just the starting point. You got to be thirsty for more grace. There's the promise there. But the condition is He's only going to give that more grace to the humble. "Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Let Him do the exalting. Let Him do the grace giving. But you need to know God's grace. Lastly, to know God's grace is to have hope. To know God's grace is to have hope. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the world today. know, this morning Rick and I was talking before the 8:45 service. We were talking about as we were kind of fixing the tapes around here to tape off rows. You know, back in March when we started doing all this stuff, we never thought that we'd be doing it here in July. And it may be that we have to do these things for some time now. But you know something? Even in the darkest times, the darkest cloud is still up in the air. It's still being upheld. Okay? The biggest storm is still there. Okay? And God will get us through it. And the point is that we need to be able to stand. And grace, to know what God's grace can do, get you saved. To know what God's grace should do is want more. To know what God's grace should do is to have hope. See, we can have hope in the darkest of times. It's hope enough for Paul and Silas to sing in a jail. It's hope enough for Paul to deal with a shipwreck. It's hope enough for Peter to go to his own crucifixion. It's hope enough for John to be on an island and see all these things. See, we need to live. They were going through some tough times. We're going through some tough times now. You need hope. God will give us hope through His grace. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "For whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand." Wherein we stand. We need to stand, folks. We need to stand. It says, and what? And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And no, we need to know God's grace. You know, there's knowing and then there's knowing. And I have a whole fear that there's a lot of people that say they're Christians and they don't really know God's grace. Because see, if you know God's grace, you'll do the second point. We need to grow in God's grace. Now, that's good enough for me. Salvation is good enough for me. I don't need to do anything else. God loves me. He's going to bring me to heaven. True, but that's not much faith. But let me tell you what the Bible says. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter, yeah, the one that's a lot like us, that speaks before he thinks and says things that doesn't mean. Okay? What's it where he writes? He says, but what? Grow in grace. Now, if Peter figured this out, we ought to figure it out too. But grow in grace is not optional. It's not optional. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you go to an apple orchard, you expect these mature trees to have what? Apples. If you go to an orange grove, you expect the orange trees to have oranges. Christ says, if He comes down to earth, will He find faith on earth? He also says, by their fruits ye shall know them. He says, if ye abide in me, you'll bring forth what? Much fruit. Not just one little shriveled up piece of fruit, but great fruit that people can see and acknowledge. And so we need to grow in God's grace because the Bible tells us to. And we need to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how will we do that? The first thing is we need to acknowledge God's grace in our lives. You know, months ago I had this term of a sino, a Christian in name only. Well, I'm going to heaven because I know about Christ. No, you're not living it. The issue is you need to understand, you need to acknowledge Him, not as your Savior, but also as your Lord. When you acknowledge Him as your Lord, you figure out that you need more grace. And you want more grace because He's the giver of all grace. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, Paul, who got saved in the Damascus Road, but that didn't stop him there. He spent years in a desert, but that didn't stop him there. He went on and became a great missionary. And then he writes the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He says this. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. We need to know who we are, Christians. We're Christians. We're blood-bought saints. And we need more grace. We need more grace. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Did Christ die for us to sit around and do nothing? No. He did this so we could experience God's grace and grow in that grace. And we need to acknowledge that we need more grace. He says, but I labored what? More abundant. When you see a need, and that's what this sermon's all about, what we need. When you see a need, you should work as hard as you can to get that need satisfied. We need God's grace. Just like with wisdom and Proverbs, we need to, with all of our getting, get understanding. He says, but I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So we need to acknowledge the need for God's grace in our life. We need to make God's grace active in our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, it says, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the what? Exceeding grace of God in you. See, Paul was praying for these people because he saw God's grace working in their life. He saw an active grace. See, those who know that God has helped in the past knows that God will help in the future, and it'll be active. And when the problem comes, you'll go to Him. And we see that He's got what? He giveth what? More grace. It can be exceeding grace of God in you. And when you think you need more grace, there's more! There's more. Colossians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, which is come unto you, as is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. See, this morning I want you to examine your lives and ask yourself, is there spiritual fruit? And if there's not, you need to acknowledge that, and you need to understand that you need God's grace. You might need a relationship with Him. You might be living a lie. And so we need to acknowledge if there's fruit in our life. And that should make us happy if we have fruit to want more. And if you don't want more, what's wrong with you? Which has come to you as an old world and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it. See, salvation is just the beginning. You know, you want a tree, you go get a tree seed. You put it in the ground, you water it, you nurture it. It grows, and eventually it brings forth fruit. And you can make other trees. The seed for us is salvation. To know what grace is. And then to nurture that, and then to grow in grace. It says, since the day he heard of it and knew the grace of God and truth. If you're not bringing forth fruit, you do not know the grace of God in truth. You may know of it, but you're resisting His grace. If you refuse to grow, you resist His grace. If you refuse to get saved, you're resisting His grace. He resisted the proud. Your pride is in the way of you following God. You need to fix that. So we need to make God's grace active in our lives. We need to make God's grace abound in our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says that God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now, a little bit of background in this chapter. Paul's writing the Corinthian church and says, hey, I'm collecting this offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And he says, we've gone through all Macedonia and they've given, and now we're coming to you, and you said you were going to do this. So he says, get ready. When you say you're going to serve God, get ready and serve Him. So when people show up, they see it. It says this, that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Every good work. So the point is, you got a problem? God can solve that problem. He can give you help. But if you don't think God can solve your problems, then you're resisting His grace. You got an issue of faith? You need to go to the God of faith, in faith, and He'll give you. He says, all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And it says, we need to make God's, the last thing is to grow in grace. We need to make God's grace accessible in all areas of life. Okay, so Paul's doing this thing with this offering. And he's coming back, he's writing this letter to the Corinthian church. He says, therefore, as ye abound in what? Everything. Oh, by the way, that's implied God's grace. Okay? Therefore, as ye abound in everything, and here he gives a list, in faith, and utterance, that's speaking, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love towards us, see that ye abound in this great grace also. The issue was, is that Paul's coming and to take up the collection. And he says, it really is asking, he says, put your money where your mouth is. You know, see, there's a lot of things in our life that we're willing to give up, but when it comes to our time or our resources, we say, nope, not us, not me. You're resisting God's grace. His grace needs to abound in every area of your life. It says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, in your love towards us, see that you abound in this grace also. See, God wants to make us complete. Complete means that we're whole. That means He's Lord of everything. Now, here's the problem. And there's a warning. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 gives us this warning. If you don't give areas of your life to God, if you don't let His grace come into all of your life, then you fail. You're failing the grace of God. And this verse says this. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. You know what to do? God's motivating you to do it, and you don't do it. You know what to give? God's motivating, and you don't do it. You know who to go talk to? God's leading you to do it, and you don't do it. You know, the most unhappy people in the world are Christians out of God's will. Supposedly to do something, they're not living a victorious life. They're not living a life of faith. They want to hold on to their own thing. They know what they're holding on to is wrong. They need to give it up. They know what they need to do is needed, and they don't do it. And it says here, it says, looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest, you know what happens when you get disappointed and you get frustrated? You get bitter. It says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. See, resisting God's grace will lead to trouble. Failing God's grace will lead to trouble. Not following God's grace will lead to trouble. And it's just not limited to you. And thereby many be defiled. Dad, you resisting God's grace? Your wife and your kids and your family's in trouble. Church, if we got people in here resisting God's grace and not doing what we're supposed to do, we got issues and we got problems. We could see that in the situation we're in now. People not following guidelines, doing their own thing, is extending this stuff. Okay? And we need to understand, we need to do the right thing. We need to do the right thing so people don't get defiled. Don't resist the grace of God. So we need to make God's grace accessible in all areas of life, even the ones that you don't want to give up. Even the ones you don't want to give up. So we need to know God's grace. We need to grow in God's grace, and then we need to show God's grace. The big thing is we need to model God's grace, and no better time to start than today. Or continue today. I want to encourage you if you are. Philippians chapter 1 verse 7 says, "Even as it is meet for me to think of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are what? All partakers of my grace." See, they wouldn't have been there if Paul hadn't gone there. Paul wouldn't have gone there unless he followed God's grace. Paul wouldn't have been able to have the message unless he got saved by God's grace on the Damascus Road. See, grace should cause an ever-growing impact. You know, he said in Romans, he said, mark those who are unruly and don't associate with it. He says, be ye followers of me, as I'm a follower of Christ. Be examples of God. We're supposed to be God-like, Christ-like. Okay? So we need to model God's grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says this, says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity," we've been talking about wisdom, and that we just need to simply take wisdom. Everything about God is on a simple level. You get in trouble when you start thinking about it. Get in trouble when you start making up excuses and reasons and stuff, and not giving up and resisting God's grace that way. He says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly wisdom, not with fleshly wisdom," everybody read this, "but by the grace of God." By the grace of God, I am what I am. That's what Paul writes here. He says, we have had our conversation in the world. What conversation? Not being worldly, but being godly and showing that there is a difference. It's time, church, to do a difference.
Yes.
It's time. "And more abundantly to you ward." So, we need to model God's grace to show God's grace. You know, the greatest advertising is when you use the product and people want it. Because it says, if it works for you, it'll work for me. Make God's grace work for you so others can see it and others want it. And they'll get saved and they'll want to grow in grace. Secondly, we need to serve in God's grace. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift," there's that word, "the gift of the grace of God." All of grace is a gift. And then we're talking about spiritual gifts here, and that's by His grace also. "Given to me by the effectual working of His power." You got to allow God to come in your life and work in your life. Which means you have to surrender to it. Which means you don't be proud. Which means you need to know that you need God's grace and you need to grow in God's grace in order to show it. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "As every man..." Now, does that mean every believer? Absolutely. Everyone in here. "Well, this message is not for me." Oh, yes, it is. You need to know God's grace. You need to grow in God's grace. You need to show God's grace. He said, "Well, I don't need that." Then you're wrong. You're wrong. "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." God can't use me. Yes, He can. You know what manifold means? Massive. When you think you've run out, there's more. It's See, God's grace is sufficient for every good work. It's sufficient for all things. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. But his riches and his grace. And so we need to model God's grace. We need to serve in God's grace. And then lastly, we need to speak in God's grace. The first part of this verse is something that we need to focus on, especially today, because there's so many people saying a bunch of weird stuff. But this verse says this: let your speech, everybody read it, be always with grace. Does that mean that you can not have it with grace? No. Does that mean everything that you say? Yes. Everything we say, everything we like, everything we post, everything we do needs to be seasoned with grace. It needs to be grace. Seasoned with salt so people will want it. And it should bring unity in the body. Should bring unity in the body. Because not only do we need to know God's grace and grow in God's grace and show God's grace, but our families need to know God's grace and grow in God's grace and show God's grace. And our church needs to know God's grace and grow in God's grace and show God's grace. So we need to have it seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer to every man in every situation. See, God's got the answer for everything here. It's not what you think. It's what God says. And we need to follow that. Now, Paul was deathly concerned about not living for God enough. He was. His attitude was, he was compelled to serve God. And it consumed him. You know, have you ever been on vacation and after you've worked a long stretch and then you go on vacation and you're sitting around idle and you go, I got to do something. You've been there. I know you have. Okay? I know you have. See, Paul, he wanted always to do something. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, he writes this. He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. You know, when you see God's grace and you need to know more about God's grace and you're not doing it, you're frustrating the grace of God. When you're some area in your life and you know you need to change and you know you need to grow and you know you need to bring fruit and you're not doing it, you're frustrating the grace of God. When you're not being the role model, you're not being the minister, you're not serving, you're not speaking the way you should, you're frustrating the grace of God. The previous verse says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, it's all about Jesus. It's not about you. To know God's grace is to know Jesus Christ. Okay? Is to know Jesus Christ. You can't be righteous enough. I had all sorts of great ideas for my faucet, and none of them worked. None of them worked. And you'll have all great ideas of how you could serve God better. It better be God in there. Because if it's your own idea, it's not going to work. See, we need to understand that Christ didn't die in vain for us. We need His grace. So this morning, do you know Him as your Savior? Do you know if you died right now, you go to heaven? If you've been putting it off, you've been frustrating God's grace. You've been rejecting God's grace. And you're living in God's mercy. You need to get saved today. You need to receive Him as your Savior today. Christian, are there things in your life that you know that God doesn't like? He gives you the grace to get rid of them. Get that fixed today. Christian, are there things that you know that God wants you to do and you just haven't come to that point yet? You need God's grace because it's sufficient for all good work. We need to make decisions this morning. Don't leave here the same way you came in. Don't resist His grace, but respond to His grace this morning in our invitation. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask You this time of invitation, Father, search our hearts and work on us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be more like You leaving this place. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.